You know, Pastor Paul sang that song about Mary, Did You Know? And this is before Mary knew. And that's what I want to talk to you about. You know, they say that hindsight is 20/20, and perhaps for some of us, we would like to leave 2020 far, far behind. It's brought challenges in many ways, and probably all of us have had plans that changed in a moment. And that's who I'd like to talk about, or what I'd like to talk about, is Mary and a change in her plans. In Luke 1, 26 through 38, it says, "Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and wondered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible.' Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." I want to go through these verses, and I want to talk about what we just read. Again, in verses 26 through 29, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what greeting this was." You know, in the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, which was confirmed in verse 36 that we read, the angel Gabriel appears to Mary, a virgin girl in Nazareth. Nazareth in Galilee was Joseph and Mary's hometown. She was simply a young girl who was living at home and planning her wedding because she was engaged to be married. And engagements here usually occurred when girls were in their early teens, so Mary may have been as young as 13 years old when this event took place. Gabriel is one of two angels named in the Bible, the other being Michael. Angels are heavenly messengers and ministering spirits, and you can find that in Hebrews 1:14. But here we see that Gabriel was sent by God to bring good news. His greeting to her was one of comfort, because what he was going to tell her would change her world. But he wanted her to know that she could rejoice. And that word there means be glad in her current situation that was going to be difficult. She could rejoice because she was highly favored. And the word there means enriched with grace. And she could rejoice because the Lord is with her. She could rejoice because she is blessed. God chose her by his sovereignty and his grace. But for her, she wondered what kind of greeting this was. It was unexpected for this young peasant girl. And you know, we too can rejoice because as believers, we are highly favored, just like Mary. Ephesians 1:6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he made us accepted in the beloved. We, you and I, were accepted by grace. And just as the Lord was with her, so he is with us. Matthew, the second part of Matthew 28:20 says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And we are blessed. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So we are all these things, just as Mary was. Then, in verses 30 through 33, then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and we will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. Again, we see here that Gabriel comforts her. He tells her, do not be afraid, and confirms once again that she has found favor or grace with God. The privilege given to her was not a reward for her purity or her righteousness. It was a gift of God's grace. And so it is for us as well. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And then he tells her again, do not be afraid. And the phrase means stop the act in the process. And we don't need to be afraid either. There are many passages in Scripture that tell us not to be afraid. And there might be a few that come to your mind even now. You know, whenever we meet something new or something strange, we can get fearful. The routine that we're used to gets disrupted. And little alarms go off in our head. That's the way God made us to respond to change. It's kind of a built-in defense mechanism. But while this the alarm system that you have is normal, there's a dangerous and sinful kind of fear that can grip and control us. People often live in fear of death, fear of a spouse leaving, fear of sickness, fear they won't be able to pay their bills. And when fear lives in us, as opposed to being a momentary reaction to something new, we respond to situations out of fear rather than faith. I heard an acronym, and you may be familiar with it. False evidence appearing real. Fear. We must resist entrenched fear. It's the breeding ground for unbelief, and it must not control us. All of our answers come from the Word of God. Every situation that we face, we can find the answer in the Word of God. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Psalm 34:4 says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And one of my favorites, Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And you know, when we look at our passage here that we read, we see that Mary accepted the angel's "fear not" at face value. Then Gabriel fills in the details that she's going to bear the Messiah. Mary would have understood that Gabriel was talking to her about the Messiah who had been promised for so long. She knew that he quoted from Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. This child would be the Son of the Most High. He would be of the lineage of David and would be king over Israel, fulfilling the Old Testament covenant promises. In this one person, deity and humanity would be perfectly blended. In this one person, all the promises of God and all the purposes of God for mankind would be fulfilled. Isn't that exciting? Then Mary said to the angel, "Well, how can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." When the announcement came, Mary received it. Yet she asked an honest question of Gabriel. Unlike Zechariah, when Gabriel presented him with the news about Elizabeth having their baby, which would have been John the Baptist, his question was asked in skeptical unbelief. Mary's question displayed her faith. She merely asked how this miraculous event could occur because she was a virgin. Her question reveals that she understood that Gabriel was referring to a miracle child to be born while she was still a virgin prior to her marriage to Joseph. And the birth of Jesus to a virgin is a miracle that many people find difficult to believe. The miracles and the transfiguration and the resurrection that Jesus did, those were all actual historical events that defy explanation. Yet, they were acts of God in a human world. Mary's question arose from faith, not doubt. What would your response be to Gabriel? Faith or unbelief? Then Gabriel explained how Mary would become pregnant and yet remain a virgin. He said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." These words explain the powerful presence of God to cover or envelop. And the same word is used in the transfiguration accounts to describe the overshadowing cloud. Then Gabriel says this, "Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." Gabriel gave her evidence explaining that Elizabeth was pregnant well past childbearing age, like me. Another divine intervention. And if God could do that, he could do what he promised for Mary. Then Gabriel says one of the most reassuring statements. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." And this can be translated, "For nothing will be impossible," with the word spoken by God. The words that Mary was receiving were from God himself through Gabriel. We too have the spoken word of God, the Bible. When the Lord announced the impending birth of Isaac, Sarah, who was well past childbearing age, laughed. And the Lord responded by saying, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." And guess what? She did. Think about this. Elizabeth and Mary. One was too old to have children. The other, just entering her teens and betrothed but not wed, was too young. God often does the impossible and the unlikely to remind us his power is not restricted by our limitations. Upon hearing that, Mary said, "Forget it. I can't do it. Nope, it's just too hard. I'm not going to be able to handle that." No. Then she said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Mary submitted. She surrendered her will to his, knowing that she was merely the Lord's servant. She believed Gabriel's words and agreed to bear the child even under humanly impossible circumstances, even with difficult social consequences. You see, an unmarried girl who became pregnant back then risked disaster. She risked losing Joseph, her family, and her reputation. And her story about being made pregnant by the Holy Spirit risked her being considered crazy as well. Still, despite the risks, Mary said, "May everything you have said be done." She took the risk of faith, for she knew that God was asking her to serve him. Mary had a plan. Do you? Are you willing to let God interrupt your plans? Would you feel highly favored or highly fearful if God had some special task for you to do? Are you willing to do whatever he asks? You know, I have a dear friend and sister in the Lord, and her name is Denise. And I went to visit her last week. She had her plans interrupted. She found out that she has 4-stage cancer, and it's a very aggressive form. She and her husband do not know how much time she has left. But they both agreed that they want to run the race however much time she has left. Well, they've opted out for chemo or radiation, and they've already made an impact on some of the hospital staff at the hospital because they're not afraid. She's not afraid to die, and that baffles medical staff. She just wants Jesus to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You know what? When I was there, the peace of the Lord is all over her face. She radiates grace. She has surrendered her will to him." And if I were to give her a scripture, it would be this one from the NLT, Proverbs 31:25. "She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future." You know why? Because she knows who holds her future. Elizabeth Elliot said this, "If I mean to be obedient and submissive to the Lord, because he is my Lord, I must not forget that whatever he allows to happen becomes for me his will at that moment. Psalm 55:22 says, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." You know, we live in a broken world, and we need to be encouraged by God. Nothing is impossible with him. He can cause barren women to bear children. He can cause a virgin to conceive. He can cause the unemployed to be employed, and those who have been apart to be reconciled. God can bring marriage partners our way, get us through exams, and help us pay off our debts, and he can heal diseases. You know, Corrie ten Boom said, "Faith sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, and receives the impossible." You know, God already knows about your situation, and he loves you perfectly, and is working for your eternal good, no matter how overwhelming that problem might appear to you to be right now. Romans 8:28 states, "For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." When he instructs you to follow him, obey in faith, even though you don't understand how he's going to accomplish it. God delights to receive glory from his power working through his people. You know, these verses present us with comforting news. God is involved with us, and nothing is impossible with God. All the love that the Father has for Jesus can be lavished on us, not because of who we are, but because of who Christ our Savior is. We can rejoice in this. You know, perhaps you're here tonight and you realize that your plans aren't working. And what you really need is Jesus. And you're wondering how you can do that, and I would like to give you, I'd be amiss if I didn't give you the opportunity to do that tonight. And it's easy to receive him. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. And receiving Christ is easy. You have to admit honestly to God that you're a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Then you need to believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross and rose again. Again, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then the last thing you need to do is confess that Jesus is Lord. Romans 10:9-10 states, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation." And I just like to know right now, as we're just sitting here, if there's anyone who has never trusted Jesus to be their personal Lord and Savior, and I'd like to give you that opportunity to do so. And if there's anyone here that has never received Jesus, I'd like you to raise your hand so that I can pray for you. Is there anyone here tonight that has never received Jesus and would like to receive that free gift of salvation? Anyone at all? Okay. Well, maybe you're here tonight then, and you have received the free gift that Christ offers. But you've become the driver of your life, and you realize your plans aren't working, and you need to refocus on the things that are really important, and you just need to recommit your life to him. You know, I would encourage you then to take a moment and be still and reacquaint yourself with him again. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is always just a prayer away. And I just want to say, if anyone is here and maybe they were afraid, they've never received Christ and they were afraid, talk to someone that you know that knows Jesus, okay? And I'm available. There's others available as well. And remember, Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let's pray. Father, I thank you and praise you for tonight, Lord. And I just pray, Father, that you would continue to meet us right where we're at and minister to us, Father. And I pray that as we continue fellowshipping, Lord, that you would be glorified and honored in all that is said and done this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Paul's going to come up and lead us into some more worship.